You're listening to
Hot Garbage.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hot Garbage Podcast, your weekly music playlist. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We are both ecstatic and very grateful that you're here with us, and we hope you have a good time. My name is Drew. Joining me, as always, is the blacksmith to my farrier, my dear friend Andy.
What's up, man? How you doing?
I am excellent, Andy. How are you?
I'm great, yeah. It's been a weird couple weeks. This is my second sober episode. So.
I know. You've been running through some antibiotics.
Yeah, yeah. I'm almost done with them. If I do take a drink of alcohol, I'll puke all over the place.
Have you tried?
I haven't tried. That's what they told me. It could be just a big lie.
They're using a scare tactic on you.
It worked. It really worked. So, yeah. I watched the Super Bowl sober. I went to a hip-hop show and just drank water.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's it been like? Did you feel the music?
A lot of people talk about, like, clarity and stuff. For me, it's just like...
It's a deep fog.
It's just the opposite of that. It's just a deep onset. No, it's fine, actually. No, everything's been fine.
Do you think you'll carry through? Do you think you'll be like, hey, maybe I won't have a drink for a little while?
No, not at all.
Never crossed my mind.
Nope.
Well, our dear friend and silent partner, Nate, is with us making the sound happen. He's well lubricated for the both of us tonight. So we're all in for a treat there. Andy, this is probably going to be our Valentine's Day episode.
Oh, I didn't even realize. How sweet.
And so, actually, it'll probably be like our February 20th episode. So it'll be like lost in no man's land.
Yeah.
And people will be like licking their wounds from another disappointing Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
I feel like Valentine's Day is just among all the adult holidays that have a lot of hype and then disappoint you. Like right up there with like New Year's Eve and, you know, President's Day.
Yeah, President's Day is a rough one.
Do you and your wife have any Valentine's Day traditions?
No, we don't usually go hard on Valentine's Day because our anniversary is on the 25th. So,
oh, okay. So you
save it up for that.
Nice. And any big plans this year?
Not really. Not really. I'm just playing it low key. I do have a night on the town planned, but it's kind of for like a school fundraiser, so it's not super fun. But it's at a fancy place.
It's for a good cause.
Yeah, and it'll be a good time.
Nice. I am going to, for the fifth straight year, I'm just going to place one of those empty Valentine's Day envelopes at the edge of my desk at work and see if people fill them with
Somebody will finally put them
hearts.
In there.
Yep. Yeah. It's been three years of empty, but this could be the year. This could be the year. So I hope all you listeners out there have had a sexy Valentine's Day, and you're geared up for an episode of music. Our guests this week on the show, the band The English Language, in total, was here. We had Patrick, yeah, Kyle, and Drew joining us from the English Language. They had an album that came out in July of 2017. It's called Mother Tongue. It's available for sale and for listen on Bandcamp. It's excellent. It's 12 songs long, so you're definitely getting your money's worth. We suggest everybody check that out. Yeah. They're also playing at Dante's here in Portland on March 3rd, so you have a chance to go see them live. We had a good time. They played some great tunes from that recent release. Andy had some killer jams this week. And we played a little Scenarios in Stereo with our friends from the English Language. So hopefully you enjoy your time with us and that band on this week's episode of Hot Garbage.
You can move around better on stage too. I noticed.
You think so? You think I've gotten looser?
Yeah. It used to be just like all upper torso dancing.
It was.
It's expanded.
I've got a knee. I can bob a knee in there a little bit now. Nice. What about you guys? How conscious are you of your on stage, like your live performance? Are there little moves that you go to?
We have a lot of little moves, a whole bunch.
Yeah. What's your favorite?
I like to take off my shoes.
Oh, that's a good one. Bare feet or socks?
I never do that.
No, bare feet. He's mimicking Toad the Wet Sprocket. Yeah.
It's just dirty up to the shin. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
This little yarny ankle bracelet.
Yeah. You see a lot of people playing barefoot. I've thought that for a long time was just for like pushing pedals and stuff with your toes, but I think it's so you can feel those heady vibes through the floor.
That's it. Yeah. No one can do it. I'm gonna put the foot down right there. But I do think that if you're a lead singer, maybe you can get away with it. But you're not playing an instrument. And then it's like you're performing in some way.
No, I think if you're like a real groovy ass bass player, you need to take those shoes off to prove it.
I'm way too self-conscious for that.
Yeah, but so that's how I feel when I'm up on stage. How do you move? What's your body movement like? And do you have to practice?
No, it's all unconscious, and I'm very headbanging. I often wonder, because I toss myself around more than you do behind your kit?
I'd say a little bit more than I do.
It goes back to my days as a guitar player. I mean, I started on guitar and then got really, really bad tendonitis and had to put guitar down, and bass requires a different technique to play, so...
You could work around the tendonitis?
I could work around the tendonitis. And nice. So I still kind of... My stage maneuvers are very guitar player-centric. I throw my body into it.
That's kind of nice. It's like a little mixing up from the normal bass player who's usually kind of just grooving. You've got a little more animation to you.
Yeah.
What about banter? Are you guys pretty locked in on your banter? Is there some...
No.
Depends what's going on, I guess.
Yeah, it depends on if the crowd is, you know, got good energy, then I think we feel a little looser, and if you know, and we kind of clam up if the opposite is true.
We just try to play,
just get
songs
barrel on through. Yeah.
What band do you think has the best banter?
I think bands that have that have like a really nice maybe like a jazz musician would have really good banter, where you're sort of tuck singing your way into the song and you get a nice musical bed behind you. Anyone who can like constantly have a little groove going behind them, I think that enhances the banter.
You can get away with saying, "Oh yeah," you know.
Yeah.
Kiss has some crazy good banter.
What's their banter like? I mean, they've got a bunch of shit up there, but God. Like, what are they talking about?
Mostly, it starts off with a lot of "Hey, listen." And then they'll say a bunch of shit. But they'll go a good 20 minutes between songs. It's been well documented a lot of places. Check that out.
And then when you have
hours of YouTube entertainment.
When you have to tune, do you acknowledge it? Are you looking out? I mean, or are you pulling back?
I only tune in the beginning and then
that's it.
Leave it. That's
See, that's all right. That's what I like to hear. I always thought it was kind of bullshit that people had to tune between.
If you got your guitar in good shape, you shouldn't really have to. I know.
I play my bass very aggressively, so I have to retune probably about two or three times during the course of an hour long set.
Okay.
That's about every 20 minutes or so. I gotta check it.
My favorite part is when a band stops a song so that they can all retune. Mm-hmm. Everybody.
You know, and I try to I try to be strategic about it, you know, and tune in moments where another instrument is playing so it doesn't take any time out of the the flow.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who doesn't know anything about musical instruments and just watches, I always think that people play their shit so hard it goes out of tune. Is that a thing that happens? Or is it just
totally?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. A lot of people do that. Yeah.
Cool. Especially, I mean, it depends on the instrument that you're playing. And different instruments have, you know, different abilities to handle abuse. And so, you know,
because you never see a drummer just be like, "Hold up, gotta tune every one of these drum heads."
Have you been to our shows, bro?
You've got your drum keys with you all the time. You're constantly...
Excuse me, guys. One second.
What about you, Drew? Are you a click into every song? Are you...
We have a lot of songs that we lead in with just guitar or whatever, but like we have a few, but... Yeah.
All right.
I do like the click-in songs.
He's got his ding-dings.
I'm into the heavy click-click ding-dings, you know?
I am too.
I like that. Yeah, I like the ding ding.
I think it's got a badass thing, you know, going for it.
Yeah.
It's a badass ding ding.
There's the episode title.
Badass. Dom.
Dom Daniel.
So you guys put out an album in 2017 called Mother Tongue, which was excellent. It's available for people to purchase on Bandcamp right now. Great record. And I know you guys are working on some new things. What's the process of getting together a new album's worth material like for you?
We just play it over and over, when we feel good about it, we record it.
Is it do your songs come about through like jamming together? Someone have a core idea? What's like the progression for a single song?
I usually bring more or less a full song, you know, varying degrees, and then we just fill it out, play it a bunch. When we think it's good to go.
What's your favorite part of the recording process? Because I know that's different than the live, and that's different than the practicing. What's the best part about being in the studio?
Recording all the shit at the same time has been pretty fun. But for me, other than that, is overdubs I like to do.
And it's nice that the studio is at home, so we can just take our time.
Oh, you guys do all your own stuff?
It's in our basement. Yeah, oh, that's nice. Every record we have has been in a house or basement.
Oh, that's incredible.
Fucking bathroom or whatever.
Bathroom.
So one thing that I really liked about the last record was just the tone is like perfect. It's just like this great, I don't know, kind of semi-distant and kind of like fuzzy tone throughout that really suits the songs really well. So when you're doing your own recording, is that something you guys are aware of? Like how do you decide on the right sound for the record and who's in kind of in control of massaging that into place?
I think probably the machine itself.
Yeah, we got a pretty badass tape machine. It's a Tascam 388. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Quarter inch. You do everything through there, but mostly it's basically live, you know.
It's the tape, Andy. People, like the last four guests we've had, tape is coming back. Mm-hmm. Has it gotten less expensive? I thought that was like the big prohibition was the cost.
The actual console is expensive. Well,
oh, really?
Tape is like $20-$30 a tape. If you're efficient, you can get two songs per tape.
Nice. So.
It's still far more cost effective than you know spending you know days in a big studio.
Yeah.
But not cost effective enough for me to like rip a sweet mix onto one, just listen to it.
Mm-hmm. You'd have to string together a reel to reel to reel to reel, and then do the reel taping.
Mm-hmm.
I think
splicing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know you guys brought some songs to play. Is there a particular song you'd like to kick us off with tonight?
Yeah, let's kick it off with Black Zodiac.
All right,
that's a faster, more fun one.
And this is off the most recent album?
Yeah.
Fucking A. Let's listen to Black Zodiac.
What I miss?
You missed a lot of things, man. It got pretty personal. So I'm curious if you guys, what are you guys' musical pet peeves?
Pet peeves?
Yeah. Like I was a big fan in the '90s of like pop punk when I was like in middle school and stuff, And I hated, as I got older, that like the Offspring didn't start singing about older things. They just kept being really corny, which I liked when I was 12, but I wish they were more like me when I was 30. So that's a pet peeve of mine.
I don't like bare feet, like we were talking about before.
Yeah, yeah, that's no good.
Bare feet on stage.
That is no good.
Interesting. Oh. I'm not quite sure if I have any pet peeve. I mean, it's like I've never been a fan of pop punk.
What about like borrowing gear?
I was going to say, so another band destroying your gear.
Yeah, like yeah. If somebody borrows your gear and they do not treat it with respect, that's pretty,
yeah, that's
points off there for sure.
This sounds like a drawn from personal experience.
Oh yeah.
How many times did you get burned by that before you just stopped lending out your gear?
We never stopped.
They still do it.
You know, you just get into a habit of just not bringing your A game gear with you. Just like just in case you're playing with amateurs, like, you know, just, you know, yeah, you can fuck this amp up all you like, you know, whatever, you know.
I feel like the kind of person who would borrow another person's instrument and then treat it shittily is a really damning aspect of their character. I think that says a lot of terrible things about them as a person.
Oh yeah, and they hide behind this notion of punk rock, you know. It's like, it's just, it's a license to just act like an asshole, and, you know, well, for some, you know, but yeah.
One of my show pet peeves, I used to not care about this, but now I really do, is when people spit beer all over the back of your head when you're in front of them standing watching the show.
Or when they throw up at their feet, but you're standing near them, yeah. And like they're trying, but they still.
And they just like whip their hair back in like a PBR mist and just raise the crowd. I didn't want that.
No, I hate that.
It's okay when you're the one doing it, but it sucks overall.
Just like forced acrobatics or like forced. I'm so into it, and like kneeling down and Jimi Hendrix type of shit. I'm just like, come on, dude.
Air guitar at a Radiohead show is
stupid. That's
don't
tough.
Sell it too hard. Don't be like, it's fake. You can tell.
One of my favorite show things is when you see a couple that is like dancing together in the crowd, and everyone else is standing around and, you know, doing normal show things, but they're just like square dancing right in the middle of the group. I really like that.
Yeah. Especially when it's like an older couple and they've got like some kind of polka-esque moves.
Yeah. Exactly. There's a little under a bridge kind of thing going on, and they're just like,
they may have learned that move at a roadhouse along their travels.
We got a babysitter tonight and we're Ubering home.
Yeah.
What is the biggest band argument that comes up among the three of you?
Good question. What would that be, guys? we're pretty good. We don't fight too much.
You guys are very chill in this setting, so yeah. I feel like that's probably pretty consistent.
Pretty stone, Jew. So,
yeah.
So let's start a band beef. Hot garbage. Starting band beefs.
Yeah, this would be the time to air any grievances, bro. I think. So it's a pretty smooth process all around. I mean, I know. So you're bringing the creative stuff, like the template, and you guys are helping to fill in. Obviously, there's some. Yeah, is there ever any friction about that dynamic at all?
No. Well, no? Not no. No. I mean, no.
Nothing notable.
All right. Well,
I mean, I think probably
that was a bust.
Well, because probably because for the other, well, for me and Andrew, we're in other projects too, so we don't necessarily. This isn't our primary means of expression, so therefore, like, you know, it's very chill.
Is that pretty common? It seems like that tends to be the thing where you can be a support in one band and then sort of the creative force in another band.
I think it's a really great personal dynamic to have. I mean, because I really enjoy contributing to other people's projects. I like being, you know, because it's kind of downshifty for me. I don't have to think quite so much about the process as a whole. I just do my end of it, and that's that at the end of the day, you know. And then I have my own thing that I do, you know, off time that I put all of my time and energy and brain work into.
Sure.
So it works well.
Yeah. What is, I guess, I'm always curious about how bands either sort of describe themselves or want to be listened to. What is sort of like the best comparison that someone else has made of your music to another band? What's one that you've been like, yeah, that's great, I like that?
Oh, okay. So I would say we played Bunk Bar probably like, fuck, a year ago now. And afterwards, some guy was like, dude, that was like the Cramps meets Nirvana. I was like, oh, my dude. Like, that was a good one.
That got it, yeah. That's pretty good.
At least our live set's more like that, you know?
Yeah. Was there ever like a conversation about what kind of band you would be? Did you ever come to a decision together? Like, we want to sound sort of like this, and that's going to help guide our songwriting. Or is it just whatever comes up, comes out?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, yeah, we don't talk about that shit. It's just, here's a song. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's kind of like this. Oh, let's make it like that.
Yeah.
So far, like, yeah, luckily no one's brought anything in, and it's like a complete, you know, left turn from what's you know, what's previously gone on, you know. Mm-hmm. It seems to be evolving. It seems to be kind of evolving in a little more of a you know, grungy area now than I think. Would you say
that's
what
they were saying at the last show? She's like, oh, you guys are so grungy now. Like, oh, all right, tight. Yeah,
but yeah, it like seems like there's an evolution at work at this point, you know. Probably because it's just a different dynamic, because there's different musicians, you know. Uh-huh. Beyond Kyle, it's a different band now. So
yeah, kind of like a '90s industrial European reggae.
Yeah,
pretty much. Bro.
That's like a really fast, really long song. That's how I would describe.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Has there ever been like a comparison when someone, you get off stage and they obviously really liked you, but it's like, not quite the compliment that they thought it was? Has there ever been a negative comparison that was intended to be a good one?
God, yeah, I'm sure there has. I can't think of them right mm-hmm. now, though.
Like, you guys sound like early Zebra Head. You guys have the energy of early Zebra Head.
Zebra Head?
Yeah, they
I've
were...
heard some weird ones, but I can't remember them right now. I'm just like, what the fuck, dude? What?
Well, on the positive okay. side, you mentioned Cramps and Nirvana, and that comparison was awesome. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's like, when you think of like what an influence is, it's actually someone you are drawing from and trying to get ideas from. So are there specific bands that you guys are looking to and kind of modeling yourself around, or ones that you listen to more than others when you're in this writing space?
Nah.
No?
No. It's just whatever I think sounds cool at the moment. Like, okay.
What's in heavy rotation for you right now?
Oh shit!
It's about to be Zebra Head.
It's about to be
fucking Zebra Head, bro. The early shot's so tight. No, I don't know. It's probably lately. It's been fucking King Tough and the OCs. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
Yeah, awesome.
Well, Andy, I know you've been listening avidly.
Ooh, have I?
So let's hear a little bit of what you've been up to.
I'm going to play you a little bit of music by the band called The Dumpies.
All right.
They're an Austin band that has relocated to Portland that are fantastic. They're on Hovercraft Records, and their new EP, Mark Spitz, is fantastic. So check that out. This song's off of that. It's called Kenneth Lay Is Still Alive.
Well, you guys, we do a segment pretty frequently on the show called Scenarios in Stereo. And
that's
basically
where you all put your hands on this table and we get out the sharpest knife.
The sharpest knives. Sick. No, it's a hypothetical situation game. So basically, if you guys are down and can hang with it, I'm going to give you a situation and you guys we'll just talk our way through how you would navigate it.
The scruples?
Is that what this is like? I know we stole this idea
basically,
from something,
yeah.
But we gave it a name that rhymed.
Okay.
So here's the first scenario, and you can all weigh in. I'd be
curious.
Is that
a pocket Bible you're reading now?
Yes, it is.
All right, yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah. I cut out a little like cigarette lighter holder.
Is there
the
a fucking hammer in there?
Yeah, a little tiny one. So the first scenario is you have to accept in the scenario that you're going to be tortured. So there's no way out. Like, it's going to happen. It's getting real. You're about to be tortured. You are given a choice. You can either have the skin slowly peeled off of your thighs and biceps, or you can have electrical current run through your brain and your testicles simultaneously. Now, the hitch is you can pick whichever one you want, but whichever one you don't select, you have to do to somebody else.
Oh, man.
So which would you choose?
This is very dark.
Dude, the brain shit's way worse than peeling off skin.
Yeah, but then you have to peel off the skin of somebody else. Okay. You have to weigh that in. Oh, you're okay.
Well, that's
I like that. That's so easy. What do you guys think? I think it would be a little bit hard. I don't think I could peel the skin off of somebody else. But I don't want to have my skin peeled off.
You'd rather electrocute their brain?
Yeah, totally. Like, I'm going to go with the zap.
Way worse, I think.
I think I would least want my own skin peeled off. So by default, I would have to select electrocuting somebody else. Or no, peeling their skin off. I'm sorry.
But I feel like the electricity part would take like a lot longer. Or no, it wouldn't take nearly as long as the skin peeling
off. It would stink too,
part.
Probably.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how long is this electric shock?
And what is the nature of the
how many voltage?
Torture? Is this like,
yeah,
is
what's
like
the voltage?
Electrocuted to death?
No. You are being tortured so that you're taken like to the brink of death in terms of pain, but they want you to survive because they want you to suffer for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're going to survive this, and maybe you'll be negotiated out of the situation at some point in the future, but you are at least going through this initial ordeal.
Okay.
I think I'd go with the zapping because then it would get rid of all those unsightly hairs on my head.
So
and
you would
testicles.
Take the zapping and
maybe
give
your hair
the
would grow
skinning.
Back.
It would be like electrolysis. It would just like zap all that hair out as well.
Yeah.
Two for one.
Yeah.
So you guys would all peel the skin off of another human being. We all were basically.
I would. I don't think I could. Yeah. Yeah.
The electricity thing would pretty much fry your brain. So,
yeah.
And your testicles. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. After
keep
effects.
Them nice and smooth.
Second situation, a little softer. Again, you have to
next
make
question.
Choice. So you can be in this situation. You can either be like a world class trombone player, but only play in polka bands. Now, this is your entire career. You are a very in demand polka trombone player, so you're getting a lot of work, and you're like famous in this world. The other option you have is you can be this like shredding world class guitar player. But you will never be publicly recognized or profit until you turn 65 years old after a career as a high school music teacher. So which scenario would you select?
Two, because it's already happening as a bass player.
I think we're already in the two category.
But yeah, but you guys right now are playing in front of people. I'm saying you're just noodling in front of like 13-year-olds for until you're 65 years old. And only then.
It might be an upgrade.
Would you kidding. Be very good? At 65, would you like come out of the gate just like the
oh
greatest?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you'd be because
you
fantastic.
Know if you plan it right and take good care of yourself at 65, you could still have lots of life.
Yeah,
you
that's know, true.
Left in.
I tried to find the right
Although,
age point.
The
I
have... polka circuit is wild.
Actually, dude. Yeah, I'd probably go with that. That'd be
dude,
way
be like
more
world class polka trombone player.
It would
that go you're, to you're badass. Like you're still a badass to a lot of people. You know,
and you're getting paid.
You are getting paid, like, for your entire life. And you're playing live music for, like, professionally.
Right.
So you can die at any point,
that's,
like.
You know, yeah, that's presuming on our part that we would diss on polka people, and that would just be wrong.
Polka's dope, actually.
Polka's
dope.
I love that shit.
You can do other stuff other than just polka,
we've got
too,
a big
you know?
Sheboygan audience, so
dude,
that'll warm their hearts.
Sheboygan, what's up?
Shapoopy.
Appreciate.
Shapoopy.
Shout out.
Sheboygan shout out. Okay, here's the third and last one. So, you've been abducted by aliens.
Yes.
And they it's not a pleasant experience for you. Again, you're not going to be any long-term damage, but they are really going to probe the shit out of you. Like they're going to give you a galactic reaming.
A galactic anal probe.
Yep. Ugh. So
galactic
this happens.
Reaming. Galactic reaming.
That's another album idea for any of you psych rock bands out there. So after this happens, you have two options. One is you can wake up in your bed, no memory of what's happened, but you have this disoriented feeling, and you never quite know what happens, but it's this like blank spot, but no memory. So you're fine, but you don't remember any of this. The other option is you do remember it, and there's going to be some trauma, some psychological trauma. But when you get back to Earth, you have some proof from the spaceship that aliens exist that you can give to the world. Which would you choose?
So basically to know or not to know?
Yeah, it's to know and have some like some deep scarring because of that. But you get this like nugget that you are the person to demonstrate there is life in the universe. Or you forget it, but you've got this blank spot and this sort of unease about your life.
I'd rather forget it. Fuck it.
Rather forget it.
That's way too much work. You know, convince the world about that shit. Nah,
that's true. Wouldn't believe it anyway.
I'd lean into it hard. I'd be like, yeah, I'm scarred, but there's fucking aliens.
Yeah. No, in this scenario, you have definitive proof. Like, there is no question.
What's the proof, though?
You have aliens.
It's like an alien hand.
You have a, there's well, a
it's, that, it's a finger that's
out,
that.
Out of your
butt.
Sphincter.
Yeah. It's a long probing wand.
You came back with an alien finger. It's pretty cool. I don't know.
You know, if there's a book deal with it, then sure.
Of course that'd be a book deal. Okay.
A series.
I would definitely take the memory just because I'd always want to know. I'd hate to have this blank spot. I would feel so uneasy. Make me uncomfortable.
It's normal, dude.
Just let it go. Let it slide off.
A lot of empty spots.
It happens to everyone.
There's a fair chance that you guys have experienced this already.
It's already happened to me.
Can we stop talking about this, please?
Let's play a little non-probe music. What's the second song you guys would like to share this evening?
Pure Liquid Hell.
Tell us a little bit about this one.
Basically, it's about booze right here. We'll be right back.
So on my way over here, I saw one of those things that's just casually unnerving, which is an adult man in like normal dress running as fast as he possibly can. Whenever I see an adult like normal day clothes just sprinting, that always makes me a little bit nervous.
Yeah, when they're not dressed for it, when they're just like, that guy's running for a reason, and it's very important.
And he's not an athlete. Mm-hmm. This guy hasn't run very often, but he is running his ass off right now. Mm-hmm.
And there was no bus in the vicinity that he was...
No, chasing. I thought about that. I entertained that, but he was kind of rounding a corner from a major street to like a side street.
So he's trying to get away from something.
Or toward something really fast.
He might. Did he seem worried, or do you have like a kind of... I'm jogging in a suit kind of face.
I think it was... See, he had a pretty calm look on his face.
Yeah, that's...
But he was fully... I mean, he wasn't dressed for running. And he was...
Not naked.
He was dressed for running from a chupacabra.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm hoping he's running randomly from something that's endangering him. That would somehow make me feel safer.
And supernatural and he just, invisible to the rest of us.
He just mugged somebody.
Ooh.
And he was just on his way out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he... My biggest guess now, based on the amount of car windows that are smashed in Portland, is that's what he had just done. Just smashed a car window.
It's probably your best bet.
And taken my backpack.
And he was wearing a suit?
No. He was just wearing, like, he was not wearing a suit, but he was wearing, like, a beige jacket and, like, a shirt tucked into jeans or something like that.
That's, like, the new shit for joggers, though.
Yuppie crime.
Yeah.
The new jogging outfit people are wearing is just like a nice sensible pantsuit.
Yeah.
And then just go out for a hot
jog. Comfortable.
It makes you sweat a lot, so it's really good for you. And it's good. Yeah. It's good on your haunches. It hugs the haunches.
Just maximum chafing on your inner thighs, though.
Yeah, that's good for you, though.
Yeah.
They found out that that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
You want those thighs to chafe because you want to tough them up.
You want some calluses right in there.
When you run a marathon, your thighs need like a
Vaseline, dude.
Yeah.
Same thing with biking. When you put it on your taint, dude.
Yeah. You've got to have a
jelly. Or sometimes when you're just driving across town, you just, jelly up your taint.
Yeah.
So that can be done in full clothes, too. Just like work
album
clothes.
Title if I ever
your
heard
tattered
of
flap.
That's the single.
Yeah.
Off of, what is it, jellied taint? Oiled taint?
Jelly seat.
Do you guys have any behaviors that make you uncomfortable when people do them in public?
When they gel their taints.
Oh yeah, when I'm sharing an elevator with someone, it's like, hey, real quick, sorry, don't be weird about this, but I'm gonna jelly up my taint real quick.
Yeah,
I've got a big meeting.
I call it putting on my night pants. I reach down, put on my night pants.
No, nothing like that comes to mind.
No,
not like that, I guess.
You guys mentioned ghosts earlier. That's another theme of the show that comes up often.
Are there ghosts here?
No, there are no ghosts here. I'm curious. I am a disbeliever in the supernatural. Where do you guys stand on that?
I'm pretty close to where you stand.
Yeah.
I used to work as a historian on Alcatraz Island in San Francisco.
Oh. So you've seen some
shit. One of the most haunted places in America.
Also,
I've seen some fucked up shit.
What have you seen?
Spooky.
I love you, kid.
So one thing that we would do to new hires on the island is that we would take them into the solitary confinement, what we call D block, and it's got two steel doors, and the windows are covered up. So whenever you're in there, it's pitch black, and it's been reputed that there's an apparition that appears in there. And those who have seen it indicate that they can smell its breath, see the reflection of vague light on its teeth, and they can hear him laugh, kind of like giggling in there.
The last thing you want is a ghost giggle.
And
I'd rather have a ghost slap than a ghost giggle.
Right, And
I think Slimer's pretty
cool. We'd lock them in solitary confinement and see how long they could take it before, they would freak out over the sound.
Did you ever see this apparition?
I didn't actually see it, but I heard it.
Oh,
I smelled it.
You can smell it. Well, I'd gas too. So
I really farted up that ghost.
It could have been me.
Just thinking. So that's the reason I don't believe, and our listeners know this. I don't believe because if I were to entertain that notion for even a second, it would cripple me in like almost every other situation. I'd just be like, all right, well, if I believe a ghost, then they could be anywhere. Therefore, every situation is a terrifying.
There's
one all
right behind you.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
That's my take.
Mm-hmm. Andy, I'd love to hear your take on what you're listening to these days. You got another song to rock out for us?
Let's see if my iPod's got any more batteries left. This might die before the show's over, and that would really fuck us up.
That's okay.
Oh, shit.
It wouldn't impact our listeners even a little bit.
Ooh, this is something I just found today. This is hot and fresh. This is a band from Portland called Heavy Sunsets, and this is just kind of like a crazy beat tape they put out. It's called Velour Volume 2. And the numbers like of the tracks are just Velour, and then just like, this is Velour 22.
Oh, all right. Let's check it out. I'm curious from you guys, what was the first music when you were kids that you remember like loving? What was your first favorite band or artist?
I didn't have music until fucking like eighth grade, and I had like three CDs. It was Beach Boys' Greatest Hits and fucking No Doubt, and I think
some Tragic Kingdom.
Yeah, which is dope. And fucking Limp Bizkit or Spice Girls. I don't remember.
Wow.
That was like the only three CDs I had.
So wait, what do you mean you didn't have music until you were in eighth grade?
I grew up in a religious home.
Okay. Yeah.
So church music only. Yeah.
No music.
Oh, no
basically.
Music. Oh, okay.
Wow.
Damn, that's harsh. Well, it was like the movie Footloose, but like for music.
But for real.
Yeah.
My father introduced me to Rush when I was really, really little.
Oh, nice.
And they took me to my first Rush concert in 1985. And I did not look back.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's a good one. Drew, what about you?
My dad was always really into CCR. So Creedence Clearwater, and so I listened to a lot of that. And then my mom was really into Eric Clapton, so
Clapton doesn't get a lot of love on this show.
I listened to so much Eric Clapton.
Like, Tears but I was just like, Eric I was just Clapton? Like, I wasn't like religiously listening to it, you know. But you know,
but it's in there.
You know, it was one of the things I
threw his kid out the window, man.
Yeah, I know.
I don't love that about him, you know. I've had to make my peace with that. That part of my fandom.
I just like, needed to get high. All right.
That's not a part I celebrate.
Yeah, it's just like with me and Garth Brooks. Like I don't love Walmart, but you know, you deal with it when you love Garth Brooks.
We love Walmart.
Yeah,
we go every day on tour.
Oh really?
Yeah.
No shit.
It's cheap.
Yeah, we had to. How many Walmarts did we hit until we found your size of shoes?
Fucking eight. We went to like 8 Walmarts in a row.
It was on tour, so it was like, we were like it wasn't like
buying shirts. Just make
they weren't all like lined up
to as many Walmarts as possible.
Yeah,
just call it Walmart Sundays. We just hit them all. We just do a big old loop. I didn't even remember what we were talking about before that, and that really threw me off. Oh, favorite bands growing up. So, Kyle, I want to talk a little bit about, since you came to music a little bit later, like, when did you pick up an instrument? What was your like entryway into playing music after this time when you didn't have it in your life?
I got a guitar in 6th grade, didn't know anything until I had friends in like 8th grade. They're like, oh, what's the guy from fucking Portland? Rap, sort of, Everlast?
Oh, sure.
Is that Everlast?
Everclear?
Everclear.
There's Everclear, yeah.
Yeah, my friend is super into that. He's like, oh, dude, here, acoustic guitar, here you go. And then I got Nirvana, and I was like, okay, there's some things I can play on here.
So, like, when you get this guitar, you don't have a lot of musical experience, but did you know, like, you wanted to play it? Was it, like, pretty immediate, or?
Nah, well, no? I always liked to play it, but I was into other shit, you know, skateboarding and.
What about you guys? When did you start playing your instruments?
Probably, like, basically, like, my mom, like, made me do band or whatever in, like, 5th grade, and then, like, I just, like, started playing. I was on the percussion section and then just started doing that and did it all through elementary and then middle school, high school, and, like, went to college for a year for, like, music and just, yeah. Nice. And so, like, I basically started playing drums, like, probably, like, 8th grade or something like that. Like, when I actually started playing like drum set
on a kit,
but but before that it was all just, I was like really into timpani. Like, I was like, played that percussion ensemble for like 3 years, and like,
I do love the timpani.
Timpani was like the shit.
He's a really good trombone player.
Were you boom boom poker band? Were you like an off shit, or were you the roll? I like the roll in the timpani.
The roll is like the best part. I think the coolest part of timpani is like you're surrounded by 5 giant drums and you're, you know, I don't know if people know, like, you're tuning the whole time, like, that you're playing the drums.
Oh, really?
Know?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so, like, yeah, because, like, each drum, like, has, like, you know, probably, I don't know, like, yeah, just, like, an octave, basically. Yeah. You're tuning around the whole time and also hitting it super hard, looking like a badass.
Yeah. You can put a little water on it.
It's cool. Just, like,
turn the lights off and
Blue
Man group it up back there.
Yeah.
Put your suede on.
I sweat a lot, so. But, but yeah, that's basically about it.
Awesome. What about you, Patrick? When do you pick up the bass?
So I was a guitar player first. And
oh, that's right.
My
yeah.
father taught me, you know, my first little bits when I was in, you know, like 5th or 6th grade or whatever. And then after middle school, I went to Houston's High School for the Performing and Visual Arts as a guitar player and a trumpet player. And so I eventually pretty much got a conservatory education. Until I went to the North Texas Music School for college, which was a jazz composition.
It's interesting. Both of you guys have some like formal education in music. How has that kind of understanding of the mechanics and that level of education inform kind of your creative output? Is it a useful tool to have up your sleeve, or did you ever find it restrictive?
No, it's great. You know, just because it allows me to just kind of I think. What it did do was allow me to open a few more doors to explore and kind of improvise and create, you know, perhaps in a way that was a little more unconventional, you know.
Oh, nice.
You know, mashing up styles is a lot of fun for me.
Drew, when you're studying drums, are you focusing on sort of like a genre, or how do they narrow it down when you're focused on percussion?
When you're studying drums, Drew.
Like when I'm just like practicing on my own or...
Oh, like when you were in school. I just wondered...
Oh.
For some reason in my mind, like a guitar or a bass, it like translates to what you'd be learning about. But what's the theory behind drums that you're really focusing on?
Teach us drum theory.
Yeah. Right. Real quick.
I mean...
You know, we got like 3 minutes.
I don't know. Don't like just whatever fits to the riffs and like the higher notes you hit. The snare drum too, and lower notes. You hit the bass drum too, mainly, and I don't know. And just learning a lot of rudiments. Of, you know, I'm glad I learned rudiments. You know, when I was growing up, because like that definitely helped a lot with like just getting certain fills in there and stuff. But I don't know.
Hit the ding dings.
I just fucking yeah.
Basically,
I don't really
it's
know
good
many
to,
other
good
instruments.
Good to know that
so,
like a college level drum education is really just bashing things around.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, awesome. Well, speaking of bashing some things, you guys got some more notes to bash around. Song wise,
yeah, we got another one. We just filmed a music video for it, and it's gonna be really rad. Yeah, it's coming out soon.
What's the name of the song?
High Beams.
High Beams. All right.
Thank you.
So guys, we are almost out of time here, but before we go, we like to do just some quick hitters to go out on. So my first question, what's your favorite movie, book, and shoe brand?
Movie, book, and shoe brand.
Mm-hmm.
Conglomerate organization.
Holy shit.
That's crazy.
All right. Well, at least right now, I'll have to say Shawshank Redemption, because nice. I just rewatched it and read the book.
Fantastic book, too.
What was the next one?
Well, we'll go shoe brand. We'll just say that Shawshank Redemption could be your favorite book
shoe brand
slash movie for now.
No, book is Martin Eden.
Oh.
By Jack London. Favorite book.
Nice. That's a strong recommendation. Okay.
Great fucking book. If you ever seen Once Upon a Time in America, he's reading that book. He's reading that book in that old movie.
Oh, that's two things I have to check out.
It's a great fucking book.
Awesome.
And
Walmart shoes.
We shoe brand. I'll probably say Vans because I'm wearing these from Goodwill, baby. What's up?
Nice. Do you guys have quick answers to either of those other two questions?
Don't fuck this up, Drew.
Go for it, Drew.
This would be the one time you can
do a movie?
Sure. You can do a movie.
Waking Life.
Nice.
Movie rips.
Damn, bro.
Shoe brand. Vans. I don't remember the last book I read, so.
So we'll say with the Bible. We'll just stick with the Bible.
Yeah, Jesus.
I got to go UHF.
Ooh. The novelization of the movie UHF?
Yeah.
This is your favorite book?
That was sick.
Bring on the Weird Al.
Yeah.
Gandhi
that movie.
Loves Tootsie, yo.
That movie. Let's see. Book, let's see. I'm going to go with a comic book right now. Tale of Sand. It was a Jim Henson movie that was adapted to a comic book by Marvel, I think. Fucking tech check that shit out. It's amazing. And I like those Adidas. Three stripes.
Nice.
All up on my dick.
Done.
That's a good way. Fair enough. My favorite movie is Tombstone. I think my favorite book is The World According to Garp by John Irving. And I do like Nikes.
John Irving's dope.
Even though it's unconscionable, but I do like Nikes.
Damn. Right on.
Is it my turn?
Yeah, if you got some.
Oh, yeah. Favorite movie, Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Nice.
Oh, that's great.
Love the comic books, too.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Have that home.
Let me start it.
Book is Wind Up Bird Chronicles by Murakami.
Oh, sure.
And shoes, Converse All-Stars.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Good answers, everybody. Good answers. Nice. People got a lot to leave with on that one. Okay.
Sick.
What is something you really...
Not bad, Daniel.
What is something you really want to get done this week?
Taxes.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking sleep.
Yep. Check that off the list.
I'm afraid I have to agree with taxes.
I want to finish up these stupid antibiotics so I can drink beer, bitch. It's like my second sober podcast in a row.
Yeah,
you could call
it's brutal. It is. It's been it's a punishment
if
for our
you
listeners.
Don't count this huge joint I smoked. I'm totally sober.
So, I just got to clean my bathroom and drain that sink.
Okay. Well, make sure you check that shower for murderers.
I always do. Every time I go in there, I check behind the curtain. It'll happen.
Ghost murderers.
Okay. When you're in a group of people in like a social situation and you have to excuse yourself to go pee, what do you say?
I say, fuck off. No, I say,
you make everybody else leave so you can go
to
the bathroom.
I have to pee. Just don't look at me.
Uh-huh, okay.
Got to shake the dew off the lilies.
That's a pretty good one.
I look them dead in the eye and say, I got a piss.
I have a penis.
No Drain the Lizard.
I gots to piss.
I can't believe Drain the Lizard wasn't like an energy drink slogan or something like that. The lizard was the drink.
That's what Sobe Energy
was.
Sobe was like Drain the Lizard.
Drain the Lizard? It was, really?
Yeah. Drain the main vein. That's the other.
Yeah. Oh, that's the other good one. Okay.
Yeah.
Energy drink.
That's cum, guys. I think.
The main vein is where the cum comes from. That's where you get that.
That's
why where we all came from.
The main vein. The cum vein.
I think.
What is the...
I grew up in a tube.
It was a bottle with a ship.
It was a bottle.
Inside of it.
My roommate was a ship in a bottle.
What is the most you would... What is the most you would pay for a haircut?
Oh, that's a good one.
I'm balding, so I don't get haircuts anymore.
So $0.
Show him your head. Show him your head.
I don't believe you.
He's not lying. He's got long flowing locks.
You know.
I'm growing my hair out to sell to his head.
I've paid $30 so before and felt like a total piece of shit.
$30?
And I know that's not that much, but I've paid that before. The most I'll pay.
That is the most
I'll pay. I prefer to pay $7.
There's no good answer for that because you're going to feel bad either way.
I think $7 is, I think you can walk away from a $7 haircut feeling great if you can live with yourself.
You're a glass half full kind of guy, aren't you, Kyle?
I got a really bad $7 haircut off of Powell, that Vietnamese place.
Yeah.
Cut my hair just like his hair. Didn't speak English at all. $7. Yep. Ba-bam.
$7.
Got it.
What you didn't read was it said in Korean, for my exact haircut.
Yeah, my dude. I look exactly like you.
He busts those out. He's like, wow. It's okay. Only,
it's Joke's the, on you, Cam.
He does it real well.
See you next month? Okay. Yes.
Last question before we let you guys get out of here. What is the best way for people to keep track of what you're up to, find out where you're playing, and grab your music?
Everybody should be on our Instagram because it's out of control. You guys should look at that.
Yeah, it's a great follow. Definitely check them out on Instagram.
What's the handle? Is it just the band name?
English Language Music.
All right, Instagram then. And then check out Bandcamp. You can grab the music.
Yes, buy our
stuff. Pay for the music.
Help us. We're going on tour. We need money.
When are you guys hitting the road?
March 19th to March 31st.
Awesome.
West Coast.
So if you're on the West Coast, everybody who's listening, check them out. And you guys are playing here in Portland on March 3rd, correct?
Yeah, Dante's. And we're playing on Saturday this week, too.
Fantastic. And you were about to say to Facebook, so there's the Facebook. Oh, you guys have a website.
Yeah.
So lots of places to find you guys online. English Language. Thank you guys so much for being here on the show. We really appreciate you
coming
out.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And thank all of you out there for listening to this episode of Hot Garbage. We really appreciate it, and we are so glad you joined us. If you want to weigh in on any conversation we had tonight or just to yell at Andy, Nate, and I, you can do so via email at hotgarbagepodcast@gmail.com. That's HAUTE, garbagepodcast@gmail. You can also follow mostly Andy's feed, but our feed together on Instagram at Hurt Gerbish, spelled just like it sounds.
Yep.
And we would love to hear from you and, have you like Andy's weird pictures. So, Andy, with that in mind, what do you plan us out on this evening?
Oh, man, I have something just for you, Nate. As I look at Drew and say this is just for you, Nate.
I thought you'd forgotten my name.
No, this is a little power violence. This is some grindcore from a band called Larry David, and it is all songs about Larry David and Seinfeld, and they are great. This is off of, what the fuck is the album called? Let me see here. I fucked it up.
Man, we really just dropped it right at the end, right at the goal line.
Yeah, it just fell apart. This is off of his album.
That it's on.
This is off of a band called Larry David's album, Grind Your Enthusiasm. This song's called Dope. The Big Vagina.
I'm not sure I know any better what the name of any of the elements of this song are, but I know we're going to love it, and we'll put it in the show notes. So for Nate, and for Andy, and for Drew, and for Kyle, and Patrick of English Language, this is Drew. We will see you next week on Hot Garbage.
I'll tell you what, I bet you there's a ton of guys out there who've been labeled with small penis. I bet you 50%.
It's the vagina, isn't it?
And it's the big vagina.
Yeah. Think of it biologically. Why should there be as many big vaginas as there are small penises? Right?
These big vagina ladies are getting away with murder.